Millennial, what? My name is Lisa, and I'm a fucking millennial. My name is Lisa, and I'm a fucking millennial. Because of Pharrell, we made it out some shit.
Yeah, you know we run the world, right?
I'm saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas.
Just want y'all to know that.
That don't even sound right. That don't even sound like me. Mm-mm.
You are fake news.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are the individual guest's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Millennials Anonymous or MAPS Media. The material and information presented here is for entertainment purposes only and not meant to malign any person, place, thing, or group. MAPS Media's name and all forms and abbreviation are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement or opposition of any specific organization, product, or service. This is purely entertainment, folks. Now let's get it.
Hey everybody, welcome back to a brand new episode of Millennials Anonymous Podcast. Yes, it is your girl, Lise Winnie, and I am a fucking millennial. We're going to get it started right and so quickly because we have Mr. Actor, writer, stand-up comedian, and also media personality, Mr. Lamont King here. And we talked about it all. We talked everything, current events that are going on. And I didn't say pop culture because that's, to me, that's specific to entertainment. It's only entertainment. But pop culture? That's a little bit of everything. There's a little politics in there. It's a little bit of current things that are going on. It's a little entertainment. So it's kind of like a drizzle. Okay, it's a drizzle of salad dressing over the salad of all the things that are going on. And we talked about it. So we talked about gun control. Everything from gun control to Dave Chappelle, like we really got into it. So I can't wait for you guys to hear that. But it was a lot of things going on the last time I spoke to you guys. It was 4th of July, okay? And we dropped the episode on 4th of July. A lot of things have happened since then. We've had another mass shooting. It's crazy. So the 4th of July, I didn't really do anything. And I noticed that a lot of y'all didn't do shit either. Like it was like, oh, Like, we went to the National Harbor here in PG County, and I took my family out there. We went out there, and I swear to you, it was fireworks being let off everywhere. Like, you just walk and pop, 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 pop. Like, what is happening? What is it about cisgendered men, straight men, and goddamn fireworks? Like, these are men. For two, 3 weeks. You got fireworks being let off. At nighttime, in the afternoon. I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? Like, what joy do you get to be outside? Pap, 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 pap. Oh, I almost died right there. Oh, my God. Pap, 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 pap. Like, what is that? And these aren't kids. These are grown men. Because even children have limits. Because fireworks as a kid didn't bother me. And most of my kids were okay with the sound of fireworks. But some kids don't like it. So you mean to tell me from the age of like a baby up until the age of about 6, you cover your ears, you don't want to hear the sound, and then you get 2 good years, 7 and 8 years old, and then by 9, you're like, fuck this shit. Like, who? Even the kids got limits. But y'all out there, pep, 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 pep. Like, what? Why? Like, can we? If we gonna ban anything, I know we banning guns, and y'all banning abortion and shit. Can we ban fireworks? Like, that shit don't even make sense. We don't need them. They serve no purpose. Every year, y'all stupid asses end up in the goddamn emergency room. Every fucking year. Now, like, it's without fail. Y'all end up in the goddamn emergency room. Like, why? It's not making sense. You 40 years old. Why are you outside? Like, what? Why? And then for the 4th of July, fireworks, it's weird. It's a very, very weird for a country who is suffering with issues with gun control and violence. We literally celebrate gun violence every fucking year. That is what the fireworks are supposed to symbolize. Gunpowder, gun smoke, death. And we just like, yay, murder. Like, why is it that we, why? Like, okay, you know what? That's where we live at. And then we wonder why we got issues.
We're still fighting about the Second Amendment. There was another mass shooting on the 4th of July. It just eerily just goes with America. And there was another mass shooting in Highland Park. 30,000 people in this town, small town. It's like one of those shows you would watch back in the day, like, you know, like they'd be whistling and shit. Like, it's like 30,000 people. They haven't had a homicide investigation since 1994. It's a suburb, I think it's outside of Chicago. And they had 6 people who were murdered and 39 people who were injured going to a parade. If you're not safe there, you're not safe anywhere. And then now you're starting to see states like mine, Maryland, who are making it easier to commit mass murder. Because it's like, oh, well, you can conceal your gun now. Like, you carry it wherever you go. Which, I don't understand it. Like, I've had people have this conversation with me. And they're like, well, if they have a gun, I want to have a gun too. Just because, I was like, y'all watch way too many movies. Because there's no way some shit gonna pop off and you be like, you know what? I got this. Pow, pow. And it's gonna be like, no, that's not gonna happen. Like, you're not gonna be Mike Lowry and Bad Boys. This gonna be like the goddamn Wild Wild West where people just getting shot randomly. And most of y'all are gonna shoot yourself because it's just statistics. You are gonna shoot yourself in the leg and the foot. It's just, this is just what's gonna happen because y'all are not sharpshooters. You're just not. We see this, even trained professionals aren't sharpshooters. So we know that y'all are not going to be sharpshooters. And the fact that some of y'all can't even understand regular traffic rules. I've seen more of y'all go through a red light. Like, fuck it. Like, let's just do it. Like, you, these motherfuckers is the ones y'all want walking around with guns. I see the decisions y'all make every day. Like, it's not making sense to me. More guns don't make me feel safe. It makes me feel less safe. Because I don't trust y'all. I don't trust any of y'all judgment. I just don't. Most of y'all have horrible judgment. I've met your baby's father. Like, I don't understand. We've seen your credit score. Like, y'all, it's just not making sense. Y'all judgment is bad. Like, it's poor. It's shitty. Like, And, you know, not only just the gun violence thing or the Second Amendment thing, but we actually had some other things that just kind of like took my attention. One of which is this new thing that's going on with TikTok about money. Okay, it's going on about your parents had more money than you did, and this is why we can't do anything because they had more money. So it was a guy who started, and he got like all these views on TikTok, where basically he was trying to figure out how my parents successfully worked from a 9-to-5 for 40 years when I'm literally only 25 years old and I'm on the ledge. Switch. Now listen. I think there's some things about this one. I think that this is, let's unpack it. Now, this is Gen Z, not millennials. Please stop calling them millennials. They are Gen Z. It's a whole different generation, even though we probably should get rid of the words and terms in general, because to be totally honest with you, all of us go through the exact same thing. The golden generation, most of them are dead, but they had the same complaints about the boomers. The boomers had the same complaints about X. X had the same complaints about Y. Y had the same complaints about Z. And Z will have the same complaints about Alpha. It's just, that's just what it is. Nothing changes. It just rolls downhill. But anyway, all the older generations feel like the younger generations don't work as hard. And most of that has to do with technology. So things do get easier. The golden generation is out there looking like, damn, they out there. Look at them. They over there. And they got wheels and shit. We had to pull that shit with our backs. Like, they, you know, they looking at them like, they ain't working. Like, they ain't working. They ain't work like we work. Like, that's all the generations look down at the other ones because technology evolves and it makes life easier for people. It just does. We can't shit on them for that. I can't shit on the fact that my children have had the internet their entire lives. They don't know it, a world without it. They will never understand the hopelessness of having to find a payphone. Never gonna get it, never gonna get it. Like, they're just not. They're not gonna understand Britannica encyclopedias or why you would even look in an encyclopedia, because I'm like, why you didn't just Google it? Like, they just don't get it. But we can't shit on the younger generations for that. But what I will say is this. Your parents parents work 40 years because they didn't have a fucking choice. Like, they had to get their ass up every day and go to a building or y'all were going to starve. Now, jobs, I feel like jobs back then were easier to get. I feel like you woke up like, oh, I know Jim. All right, come on in here. You can start tomorrow. Okay. Because back then, people just was faking being other people and they just was working and shit. Like, y'all don't, you didn't do no background checks on them? Like, what? I was watching a movie, The Girl in the Pitcher, and the guy had like 15 jobs and he was like 15 people. I'm like, no background? Okay. All right, I'm just gonna let that, all right, we just gonna let that slide. All right, okay. But back then, jobs were easier to get, harder to do because everything was manual. They literally were typewriters. Pap, 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 pap. See, it sounds just like my fireworks, but go with me. Follow me. Pap, 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 pap. That was them. Come back. Pap, pap, pap. They had typewriters, not computers. They were doing a lot of this shit manually. And a lot of people didn't have a lot of options. Like, they did what they could do. And that was the options that they had. You, at 25, have 17 degrees. Okay? So, you have a little bit more options. Now, you have $150 million in student loan debt. But the reason of all your parents were able to stay at a job for 40 years is because they didn't have social fucking media telling people that my job is better than your job. Look at me. I'm on vacation. And you there in that shitty office. They didn't know what the other motherfucker was doing, so they was staying at the job because they didn't know no fucking better. They didn't have no fucking other better options. They thought, okay, this is, everybody's job is shitty. Oh, yeah, yeah, Jan over there and Jan over there, everybody's shitty and it's shitty over here. Everybody is shitty. That's just what it is. They didn't have social media telling you that it wasn't and believing that everybody's job is just, oh, I work 2 hours a month and I make $500 million and I spend the rest of my time on the beach. They wasn't watching a fucking general studies major telling them they make $500 million an hour doing nothing. But y'all do. And so every time you're looking at this, you're comparing your life to that. Of course. You're not going to want to stay at your shitty ass job if you sit there in a fucking cubicle, which cubicle work is some of the worst work ever. I don't know. I think the devil made cubicles. Like, the devil made call centers, because call center work, I mean, not cubicle work, call center work is made by the devil. There's no way that you will put human beings in that situation and expect them to like it. Like, it's just, as a person who's worked in a call center, I understand. Like, it's just not what it is. It's awful. It's terrible. When they time how long you going to pee, it's not a good job. But while you sit there looking at your computer screen with your manager recording that shit and getting cussed out on the phone by somebody who broke their own shit, you are sitting there looking at this shit and like, damn, they work 15 hours a year and they can spend all their time on the beach. Like, you're seeing this and you believe it. You're like, damn, they graduated from high school and they did. And it's a couple people that do, but most of the motherfuckers is lying. That's how your parents stayed there for 40 years. Surprise! Surprise. Y'all out here thinking Elon Musk fucking care about y'all having babies all while the abortion issue is going on, which is hella weird, hands me tail vibes. But y'all out here listening to them when all they want y'all to do is give birth to employees. He got a 9-to-5 second shift he can't cover. He like, I'm gonna need that. I need a warehouse worker. I need one right now. I need that. Mm-hmm. That's what they looking for. Nick Cannon looking for another wildin' out model. He got a position he can't fill. Like, they just need y'all to have kids because they need workers, employees. They need employees. That's what that is. They need W-2s on the books. Y'all just ain't figured that out yet. That's why when you see all these billionaires and y'all be like, yay, billionaires. I'm like, for what? Because the more billionaires they are, the less millionaires they can be unless the United States keeps printing money like they always do. But technically, the more billionaires they are, the less millionaires they can be. So I never understood that. Yay. Like, what? Why are y'all yaying? Because y'all ain't going to sit there. Some of y'all will, but most of us won't. We will die in obscurity with no money, making somebody else very, very, very rich.
And this is just facts. It's sad, but facts. Surprise, society sucks. And so we created this world where that's what's the reality. And that's why you have people saying, oh, I'm burnt out and I'm 25. I'm like, what the fuck do you do? What are you working on, railroad? Like, I'm not understanding what is it that you do. Of course, I think we do need to change the work environment, because I think a lot of people who become managers and own businesses and companies shouldn't be nowhere near there, because they don't know how to treat people and to understand that these are people. Like, they shouldn't spend their whole life giving for you for $10 an hour. Like, that don't make no sense. They need time off. They need breaks. Now, I know that I think that they're looking into a 4-day work week. We'll see whether or not that becomes a thing. But even that, I think people would still have some issues. And knowing the U.S., they would just make the work day instead of 8 hours would be 10. It was like, oh, you're 4 10-hour days, 40 hours a week. And in my home state, there's this debate about squeegee kids. Now, if you're not from both the East Coast, Northern East Coast, probably, well, I'm probably not all the way up the East Coast, probably between Maryland and New York, you know what a squeegee kid is. I know they probably got them in Philadelphia. I know they have them in New York because I talked to Headcrack about it. I know that you probably know what a squeegee kid is. But for everybody else that doesn't, this is what a squeegee kid is. A squeegee kid, or a squeegee man, because some of it's like boys to men, because some of these is grown-ass men. Like, they're not boys. Like, these is men. I've seen it. Some of them men. But the squeegee kids are basically usually teenagers. Like, probably between the ages of 15 and 19. That get spray bottles. Ask me what the fuck is in them. I don't know. But they get spray bottles and squeegees to clean your windshield. So they do this in order to make money. So their goal is if they clean people's windows, they'll make a dollar here, a dollar there, a dollar here. But over the years, they've become a bit of a nuisance, especially in Baltimore, where some of them are okay and they don't bother you. I've had interactions with some of the squeegee, well, this the one I had an interaction with was a man, a squeegee man that was positive. You know, I told him, no, don't clean my, he did clean my window anyway, but he cleaned the window and he put a hard on and he kept it moving. But I've also seen it where people told them no, and then they proceeded to kick the shit out of her car repeatedly because she said no and she didn't want to pay them, even though she told them not to wash her window. So I've seen both sides of this. And in my, you know, and we had a tragedy that took place. So someone got killed by a squeegee kid. Now, it's not exactly what you think. In this particular case, the squeegee kid actually wasn't necessarily in the wrong. Being a nuisance doesn't necessarily make you a threat. It just makes you a nuisance. In this particular situation, a white gentleman decided to, because most of the squeegee kids are black, the white gentleman decides to get out of his car and proceeds to, I don't know if they cleaned his window and he told him not to, but he proceeds to swing a bat at the kids. One of the children, or teens, or men, has a gun. They shoot him, and they flee the scene. The guy dies. Now, in this particular situation, the guy in the car is at fault. There was no reason for you to get out of your vehicle, pull your vehicle on the side of the road. Your vehicle is still running for you to come and hit anyone with a bat. In no way was he justified. The squeegee kids, had they not fled the scene, actually would have been justified. They probably flee because police coming, they're young black men, this is a white man. They probably didn't think it would end too well. Who's going to believe them over this white man? So that's probably why they ran. But in this particular case, they actually would have been justified from the information that I have, unless there's some other information I don't know about. But if you had the option to get away from the scene and you choose to engage, that's on you. Even if they kicked this car or whatever the heck, you could have just left. Let's get to this conversation with Mr. Lamont King.
Good Did you go solo or something? Like, what happened? Was it good terms?
Well, sort of. Okay. So I still talk to some, like, I think you had Ashley, the cannabis nurse, on your show. She was a part of the show. Brunching at the time is what, what we called it. And yeah, I still talk to her. She's awesome. But it's cool. Yeah.
Hey, life happens, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The pandemic did a number on people and friendships.
It did, didn't it? It'll change you.
It definitely. Now,
you have been through it too, because I mean, with radio, you kind of had to adjust, like adapt. Like, how did you handle that? Because you were in studio, right?
I was in studio, so I was doing the Karen Hunter show, which is on Sirius XM Urban View Channel 126, and I joined the show in August of 2019, okay. And I'm on every Friday, and they were like, "Yeah, man, if you can make it every Friday, you know, come through." And I'm like, "Where's the studio?" New York City. And I'm in D.C. So, but I did it though. You know, we made it happen. And then, so from August to March of the following year, I was there every weekend. And then March 6th, you know, stuff started breaking loose. And I got the call. It was a Thursday. And they were like, "Yeah, don't come tomorrow." And that was the last time I was in New York City.
Oh my goodness. And New York got it bad too.
Yeah, like, they did in the very beginning. Just, yeah.
It was pretty rough in New York. But you've been doing really well. Recently you went viral with Donnell Rawlings. How was that? Did he reach out to you? Like, because you're both DC guys.
Yeah. I'm familiar. We've been on a couple shows together. We don't know each other that well. But I was just sitting here watching TV bored one night, and I saw he was on Snoop's can I cuss on here? Is this one of those shows?
Yeah.
Snoop's fucking around comedy show. And I was like, "Okay, bet." It was doing the Netflix as a joke festival, and I'm watching it, and you know, I'm seeing, you know, Mike Epps and Melanie Camacho and Cat Williams, D-Ray. Yeah, and I seen Donnell, Ashley Larry or whatever. And he came out in a suit looking real clean or whatever. But I don't know what happened. I think whatever I was watching it on was buffering. And so the screen froze on him, you know, making this real animated facial expression. And I look up and I was like, "Damn, that nigga look like Idris Elba." But in the multiverse, right? So I took a screenshot. And I was like, "I'm going to do something wow with this." I couldn't even figure out what I was going to do because I haven't really mastered the social media funny TikTok video thing.
It seems like you have, though.
Well, I mean, that was an easy one. That was an easy one. So I waited a couple of days and then I said, "Oh, yeah, let me just list all of the things that he doesn't look like." So I did it and I got about 40 views and then I went to sleep. And then the next day, people inbox him, were like, "Oh shit." They like, "Oh man, check your IG. And he actually was a real good sport. He reposted it and did like a silent reaction to it. And his silent reaction to my video on his page currently is at like 220,000.
Wow.
Views.
Wow.
Which is like the most on his page.
Is it really?
Yeah, on his page.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was my little moment that, you know, I haven't been a part of anything that's done those type of numbers on Instagram up until that point. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Maybe you two should see. Maybe that's a sign.
It could be. So I did reach out. I didn't respond though.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I got
maybe he
could be busy. I got a show coming up in New York City that I'm trying to invite him to. So we'll see. I'm still working on that. But we'll see. But he took it all in fun. He went, you know, he went with it. You know, the comment section was funny because people was getting at me too. You know, they was clapping back at me for him. So I thought that was funny.
But he actually, when you said it.
Exactly.
I've seen it and I never saw it before. Right?
Yeah. It's like a strange, twisted, unfinished Idris Elba. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if you had to make him in, like you go to a Sip and Paint and they was like, "Well, draw Idris. He's 30% of the class is gonna look like Donnell Rawlings when they draw." That's what he looked like.
True. Yeah. That is very, very true. And are you back? Because I know for a minute, I guess after you did you do was it Comic View that you did where you stepped away or
Well, Comic View, I kind of bombed in 2000, my first time on TV. And Cheryl Underwood roasted me on camera.
That was it. Yeah,
that's the okay. Cheryl Underwood story. So it was a decent set. It just never made it on TV.
Okay. Never made it on TV. We saw that part.
Yeah. You saw me getting crushed at the end, but you didn't see the 10 minutes I was on stage.
Got you. Yeah. Did you ever reach out to her? Because she's in radio now somewhat and then on television. Have you reached out to her?
I don't believe in violence against women, but I think if I saw her, she would probably trip accidentally.
No. You would hug her. I would
help her up. Yeah. she would. It's a possibility that she might lose her footing if I was around. She might lose her footing. No, she. We've made peace. We've made peace since then. I believe. I think so. It's been a long time, but for some years, I had beef with her. Because I felt like, you know, that was a TV moment, and TV moments can ruin your career.
That is true.
And I was literally struggling to get work just because at the time I was in LA. And I was, you know, I was doing the circuit and trying to get up at open mics and get booked at the comedy rooms. And people say, hey, wasn't you on didn't you do Comic View? And I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking it's a resume build. I was like, yeah, I was on this season of Comic View. And they're like, yeah, ain't you the one that Cheryl Underwood was getting at? And I was like, yes, that was me as well. So it was hurting. So, but me and her, we had a conversation on a radio show one time in Cleveland, and she didn't apologize, but she accepted fault.
Okay. See, so, I mean, that's a step.
Yeah.
Nowadays, had you been on Comic View then, you would have went viral, which therefore actually would have helped.
Yeah. There's no losing now. Like anytime you get more eyes on you, like that would have been definitely a moment if it went that way. Because here's the thing. So it was tricky. It was a lot that happened. So I did a joke about a hurricane. This is 4th of July weekend. They filmed the Essex Fest in 2005. Katrina hit in August. Mm. So I did a joke about a black hurricane. And they cut the show up and start running the show in January of the following year. So my set with that in it, that couldn't land on TV.
So
I went over time while I was on stage. And so she's roasting me as I'm going off stage. That's the part that made it on TV.
Gotcha. That sucks.
Though. It sucks super major. It's dumb. It's dumb.
But time is different now. Do you dislike the social media comedian? Because I know some comedians who actually are in the clubs, they're in the circuits, they do not like the social media guys because of what they stand for. Do you dislike them? Because they kind of skipped all of it.
Nah, they did. And that's just from, you know, unfortunately, I don't want to say hate, but that's just people who are unable to adjust with the times. Okay. And myself included. Like, I don't have it all the way mastered. I admire the way they figured it out. You know what I mean? With the new mediums. Because some people, you know, your brain operates differently. You know, a stand-up thinks about how he or she crafts a joke differently than somebody who, you know, grew up in front of the camera and on the devices. Like your mind, even how to TikTok is a skill.
True.
Like coming up with doing what am I gonna do? What am I gonna point at today? You know what I'm saying? that's a talent. Like a lot of times putting that stuff together and making it funny, because I'll look at it and I'll be like, if I came up with that, that would not be funny. But if I, you know, if I got on stage and told a story, you know, then that would be different. But no, I admire them for, you know, figuring it out. And it's not their fault, because people have reacted and responded. And when it comes to booking out venues and doing shows, if people show up, what bad do I have to say to you? You know, the smart thing would be to work with them peoples.
True.
And you see some of the veterans, you know, finally got that, and you'll see a super big name doing a tour with like two or three social media stars on there. And that's how you do it.
Does it piss you off though? Because you know, in comedy, people steal jokes anyway.
Oh,
it's just a hazard, I guess, of the business.
Yeah.
But I think on social media, it's even worse because a lot of people haven't heard these jokes.
Yeah.
So then does that upset you as a comedian? Like if you have a joke, somebody takes it, they put it on social media and the joke blows up and they don't necessarily give you credit. Cause that happens a lot
because people don't believe in giving credit anymore. I mean, that's not even part of our society. So again, you got to take it with a grain of salt. Like even creativity now is not genuine. It's who can do the same thing just a different way.
True.
So is it paying tribute? Is it stealing? Like it's a thin line. But if it's good, then this, you know, you sometimes get a pass. But if you steal it and make it whack, then that's a whole nother story. But I like again, I'm from a different era, so originality is still you know, that means something. Being original and being authentic, that still means something. Some people don't care.
But I think that's where we are now. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
if
some
it's
people don't. It don't matter.
Yours.
Yeah. Right. It don't even matter if it's funny.
That's true.
It just do I like you?
Yeah. The prettier you are, the easier it becomes with social media. You get a lot of likes. Yeah. All you have to do is have a bathroom sink and an ass, and you can really make it in this industry.
Or just be likable, like. Even beyond looks, like I, you know, I'm not judging no another man, but I look at like Drewski's funny. Look like he got hit in the face with a shovel, and he's humongous,
right?
You know, Jake Paul and Logan, they look like cavemen, but it's
are they likable?
They're likable to their fan base, though. To their fan base,
I think it's the opposite. I think people dislike them so much that they are popular.
Well, then that's another category. How bad can you be hated? Because if you can be hated, you're going to have a big following too.
But Trump did it. I mean, exactly. he managed to get a following of people who love him and then a following of people who hate him. Yeah. And the reason why I think he got elected is because people hated him. Yeah. And so people wanted to get back at other people.
Yes. It's like
Trump.
It's a train wreck. You can't look away. You can't look away.
What do you think what are we going to do about guns in this country? Because every day it's a mass shooter.
Shoot them. That's what they're made for.
We going to shoot the shooters?
No, you said, what are we going to do about guns? We're going to keep shooting them. That's what they're made for.
True, but we have a mass shooting like every day now. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Do you think that the Democrats, they're trying to go, you know, and tighten gun laws? Do you think that is going to help?
No, I don't. I think it's bigger. I think it's bigger than political parties. You got to realize how many some numbers came out and they were saying there's enough guns made already for everybody in America to have like four of them a piece. There's enough made already, and they're still making them by the millions.
But if they ban them,
how can you ban? They've been banned. How you going? A criminal got to use something. The criminals have them.
True. That is very true. But a lot of these white people who killing folks registered.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't have it's no easy solution. But I just know they're not going nowhere. They're not going nowhere. You can ban them all day long. They was banning weed for years. They banned cocaine.
True.
You know, fentanyl is illegal. People still die.
Yeah, true. Very, very true. But I think that it's a little bit different with guns, I feel like. It's different.
Tell me how's it different. How's it different? They've been illegal for so long.
True, but I think that when you buy a gun, drugs usually only impacts you. A gun impacts other people. I mean, I guess technically drugs could, because if you get on like certain drugs, maybe you might steal from people. Yeah. Like that. We all met a few in our lifetime. But I think mostly guns impact other people. It's not necessarily just about you. So that's why I think it's different. Like if you ban it.
Yeah, that's true. But think about this. All right. So if you do ban it, let's talk about handguns. I'm just only talking about handguns.
Okay.
Because in D.C. for so long, and you know, states like New York, where you couldn't even... You couldn't possess one, couldn't own, have, use, nothing. But you got the criminal who already the criminal is like, hey man, all the shit I do is illegal. I don't understand. I don't understand your ban. You know what I'm saying? Your ban is not restricting me. So I'm going to be against the law and I'm going to have this pistol. Now, you following the law, it was like, mm-hmm. man, I can't have one. This criminal, you know, his moves is against you. Don't you want to at least have a chance? Don't you want to have a chance?
I want to have a chance, but I ain't no sharpshooter. Like, people have been watching movies way too long that they feel like they're going to be pow. Like, no.
But you want to have a chance, though. I'm all for people at least having a chance. Like, you kick my door in, you already in there illegally. I got one at the crib. I should be able to use it.
I just feel like I do not like guns everywhere. And I feel like we get into a society where people just, it's guns everywhere. I know I'm living in a dream world in my head.
No, but you're not, though. You're not, though, because there are some countries who guns are illegal and the gun violence and that type of crime is super low.
But now we're in America.
Yeah, we're not there. So you got to play with the equipment that's available.
Our president was a talk show host. Like, we in America.
Yeah, we in a multiverse.
That ain't never going to happen ever in life. But, like, you also had posted something about Brittany Griner.
BG.
On your social media.
Yeah.
Do you think, because it's been a little bit of a debate of whether or not if this was LeBron James, she would be home. What are your thoughts? Do you think we should trade? Because I know they're thinking about trading, I think, this Russian arms dealer for like three Americans. What do you think we should do? And how do we get her home?
I think we should do that. I think that would be the easiest thing, because they just traded somebody a few months back, did a one-for-one. Some American was over there being held for allegedly espionage. Mm-hmm. And then they let some dude go here that was, you know, 10 years in for smuggling microfiche or something. He's some type of spy or something. And just get a one-for-one. Go through. They got him somewhere. Go through and see. It's going to be like, you, no, not you. One-for-one. I'm sure we got somebody with the same equal or lesser value of a Brittany Griner that we could do a one-for-one swap out and get it over with. It could have been happened.
So if she was a male basketball player, do you think we would even be going through this?
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, absolutely not.
So we don't respect our WNBA players.
And neither does Russia. Neither does Russia.
No, but I feel like a lot of that's on us. Like, how many WNBA games have you supported?
No, I don't support it at all. I'm going to be honest. It's just not exciting to me.
Why?
The razzle dazzle.
It's basketball.
No, but it's a little different. It's not, you know, it's not above the rim yet. It's not as high flying as I enjoy. You know what I mean? It's just recently, in the last maybe 5 to 7 years, you see a lot of razzle dazzle and you know, a lot of playmaking guards and all of that. But like, beyond that, it's pretty boring to me.
But it's the same game, though. The difference is men don't want to support it because they are women. It is the same game.
Are you watching men's volleyball? No.
No.
You're not. You're absolutely.
And it's they got that.
And it's the same game and it's the same uniforms. But you're not doing it because it's boring.
Well, to be fair, I don't really watch volleyball.
But you've seen it.
I've seen it. Yeah, when the Olympics. Yeah, I've seen volleyball. But you're right. I don't watch male volleyball. But I feel like female basketball is different. This is something that you can support all the time. Like,
You could. But just to me, it's just boring. It's more exciting now than it's ever been.
Okay.
To me, as far as the play, the level.
So it's the marketing. Not probably, the play, absolutely, but the
absolutely, absolutely. I would go there too. Absolutely.
So we have to do better. So we want her to be seen like a LeBron James type, you know, player and athlete. We have to change as people to support the WNBA. Would you be willing to buy season passes to the Sparks? Is that DC?
LA. We got the Washington Mystics.
Mystics. That's right. Mystics. They won recently.
Mm-hmm. Championship, like more than once, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Season.
Well, here's the thing. I don't have season tickets to any team per se, but I would definitely go to a game.
You could afford, but
See, you could afford those though. Cause like,
Can they? I didn't even know.
Sitting,
they're on the lower end. Is what you're saying?
But I'm saying sitting courtside on a Wizards game gonna cost you.
Oh yeah, not doing that. Yeah, no way.
It's gonna cost you. You could probably do the Mystics though.
I probably could. You know, if they free Brittany Griner, I may take a look at that to see how I could support. Cause maybe that's the problem. It's because people like you and me did not support is why she got caught at the border. And maybe that's it.
I feel like it
could be. It's our fault.
I feel like it's us.
We put the vape cartridge in her backpack. We did.
We did. And we then did speaking of sports, Macy Gray got in trouble. Mm. Do you have thoughts on that, or do you want to
see this one? I didn't see this one.
So Macy Gray was on, I guess Piers Morgan has a show again on Fox.
Okay.
And she was talking about transgender athletes. And because, you know, there's a bit of a dispute whether or not transgender athletes should play with women or biological women versus or biological men. And they said that they should have the same fair, play. Mm. So Macy Gray said that she didn't believe that they were women. She said, you can change your parts, but it doesn't make you a woman. And she doesn't think that they should play with women. Of course, this immediately got some backlash.
What part of this, what part got the backlash? I'm trying to figure out.
Because she said they're trans women aren't women, and that they should not play with women who were born and they take their gender, their assigned gender, cisgendered women.
I'm still trying to figure out what part she got backlash.
They are women.
Okay. They identify as women.
They are women.
Okay.
And they should be allowed to play sports.
Sure.
We can't stop people.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And they, I mean, because what they're saying is they shouldn't have to play against the men. So like the cyclists that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, okay. Is that what she got in trouble for?
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't agree.
Okay. You don't agree with Macy, or you don't agree with the general public?
Well, I didn't know that I'm part of the general public, so I don't know what they agree with. I just know that in the case of the example that happened some time ago with the college swimmer who competed as the gender he was assigned with at birth, competed as a male,
correct,
and was an absolute failure of an athlete.
He was a failure.
He was ranked like last, and then he switches and transitions and then competes, is allowed to compete on a women's team what is trans short for? Can we say
transgender?
Transgender. I was gonna say transsexual, yeah, but I heard
that's offensive. Yes,
okay, that's offensive. Okay. As a transgender athlete or whatever, competing on the women's team, and then you bring home the championship. That's completely ridiculous, and it's completely unfair. And no, I'm not in favor of that.
But one of the comebacks to that is that there have not been any transgendered athletes that have won like a national championship or has not happened. So if they have an advantage, what they're saying is shouldn't they win everything?
No, it's not necessarily win everything, but it's not even an advantage. You're just, this is not, there should be, okay, science can tell us what is and what ain't.
Correct.
There should be a trans. You got to be careful because you never know. So, but here's my stance. I say all that to say, there should be a transgender category.
But it's not enough of them.
What do you mean? It's enough. Too. It's enough. Oh, it's definitely enough.
I don't think it's enough to have their whole
the same way with not comparing, but it's similar to the need for a Special Olympics. It's because you needed a different category where these people can compete.
So if you were like Trevor Noah said, it should be like weight classes. So instead of having, you know, like men and women, maybe do it by weight class, like in boxing.
That's not going to work in every sport, though. That's not going to work in every sport.
Well, I mean, if you were on a basketball team, that's going to be kind of difficult to pair everybody up by weight. But if you're in individual sports, which most of them are, you could do it.
Yeah, well, let me know when that happens and tell me how you enjoy that. Tell me how you enjoy
What about trans men? If like a trans, like there's a trans man or male boxer who fights men. No one's saying anything about
Does that happen? Has that happened yet? Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
I think people saying something. There's people saying something. They'll say nobody's saying nothing about that. So they talking. I haven't seen it yet, so I really don't have an opinion on that. It's still.
So he's not. I don't think he's ranked or like
or winning. Imagine that. Imagine this individual not winning.
I think they did. They did win a match, I believe, but they're not like at the top yet.
Who did they?
But
beat?
Of course,
who did they beat? Because that person should no
I'm
longer.
I'm gonna find it and I'm gonna send it to you.
I'm not in. I'm retiring after that.
I'm gonna find it and I'm gonna send it to you. But I think that we do need to find a way because this seems to be something that more and more people are finding themselves and they're more comfortable.
Yeah.
So we do need to find a way to make sure that we're not discriminating against them.
Sure.
But at the same time, we don't have those questions because it is newer. So we do have a lot of questions of whether or not there is any
We're still trying to figure it out. You know what I mean?
True. And so that's what I was like, we don't really know yet. But I will say this. I want to ask you, because I know you're a writer as well, a comedy writer. Do you find, like, especially when you're watching shows and stuff, because I don't think now we have really good shows like we used to. Like, back in the day, like, we had great shows. Even, you know, with the Cosbys, with Martin, we had great shows. What happened? Is it that we just don't have enough good writers? Is it that the writer's room is, they're not bringing in the best people? Like, what is going on?
Well, you gotta, so to that, let me ask you this. What makes a good show to you?
I think something that can appeal to people. It's funny, but at the same time, you feel something from it. You learn something from it. And I don't think we have that.
Well, so to that point, here's what I think the problem is. So nowadays shows are trying to appeal to everybody.
You think so?
So in the midst of them trying to appeal to everybody, you lose the connection to somebody or anybody because you're trying to make the show fair enough for everybody. You know, you're beating the I word over the head. So you want to make the show as inclusive as possible, but so the shows that you liked, they were narrow. They had relatable things, but they were narrow. Like my favorite two shows in history are Good Times and Cosby Show. And those are the polar opposites of the Black experience.
True.
So you got some people that enjoyed Cosby Show and hated Good Times. You got some people that enjoyed Good Times and hated Cosby Show. But it's still the themes were relatable, but the show was narrow. Today's shows are so focused on appealing to everybody that they kind of lose out.
The Cosbys, but I feel like the Cosbys had that mass appeal. Like it crossed
it did
racial, economic.
It did. But that's because they didn't spend their time trying to. They focus on themes, relatable themes.
Okay.
So is Theo not cleaning the room?
Got you.
It's not Theo's not cleaning the room because he's, you know, unsure of himself. Or, I mean, think about it. Think about it. He's not, the themes were relatable. They weren't trying to appeal with, you know, kids dealing with mental illness and.
You don't think a different world did that?
Sure, they were. There was some. They were. They would zero in on particular themes, but it was still narrow. It was still Black kids at college. They'll hit you with a theme that Black kids at college could relate to.
Okay.
You know, my roommates attempted suicide and
they did date rape.
They did date rape and we're marching and you know, it was racism and, you know, they touched them, but they were not trying to please everybody. They were not trying to include everybody.
Do you feel like the world was different though? Like they could get away with so much.
Absolutely.
You can't now. As a comedian, I would imagine this is a difficult time for you.
It is. It just challenges you to get creative. And a lot of people are either not willing to or don't have the bandwidth to be as creative as you need to be on stage nowadays.
Do you have that fuck it mentality like Dave Chappelle? Because Dave Chappelle, I just went to go see him and he went balls to the wall.
That's what I heard. Yeah, I did hear. I heard
yeah, that. He went balls to the wall.
He can afford to. Everybody can't just say fuck it. Well, even if you wanted to.
True.
He can afford to. You know what I'm saying? And that's what he's, you know, he's carved out that lane for himself. He's proven himself to be that. It's when we do it, we're taking a very great risk. So if you're not being creative with it, mm-hmm. and you know, finessing it, if you will, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you. But it is hard. It definitely is hard. The landscape has changed.
Are you slapping people now? Like, if they come up, are people trying you more now that Will Smith opened the floodgates?
No, not on stage. I don't think he opened the floodgates.
You don't think so?
Nah, y'all just got to see what we've been seeing for years. Like that's been a thing. Like
really?
Fending for yourself at a show is like, you know, that comes with the territory. We just, many of us, you know how to handle that. We're prepped for that.
A heckler is different from somebody that's like, I'm gonna fuck you up. Like,
yeah, hey, and
have you had that?
Once, I think.
Once. Really?
Early on in the very beginning. He was drunk though.
Okay.
Yeah. He was out of sorts.
Okay. Yeah. But now it seems like that's more like, I mean, it happened to Dave.
Yeah.
It happened to Chris. I mean, they're two different scenarios.
There's two different scenarios, but people are more, because of like what we talked about, because of change in society, people are feel more entitled and empowered because that's social media. That's social media. Will and Chris, that was personal. But the dude run up on the stage with Dave, that's social media, because even what I did with Donnell,
okay,
I hesitated because I'm not from that era. I'm not doing that to you if I don't know you.
Okay.
Social media has that's just old school, just an older mentality. Social media has made it so everybody can touch everybody, whether you know them or not. And people think that that's cool. So in person, you might still do it because you think you can.
Okay,
but
it's different.
It's different, and you saw what happened with the guy that ran up on Dave because it's different.
True, but Dave had backup. Like every comedian don't have backup.
Every comedian don't have security. Backup, but it's also the environment that he's in too. Like, you know, there was an environment where that wasn't conducive. You know what I'm saying? at the Oscars, you wasn't really going to see that type of response. That type of reaction time, because nobody was expecting that. You're not going to see that. But at a Chappelle show, I mean, he's been, you know, he's been not liked for a few years by some people.
Yeah, there's a certain segment of society that hates Dave. Now.
Yeah,
like Dave Chappelle has gone completely off the deep end with them. There is no coming back.
Yeah,
and after this special air, he really made it very, very clear that he is not happy. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
But I will say that sometimes you can beat a dead horse.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I will say that's the only thing I will say. But other than that, I think Dave is funny. I think he's a legend. He's hilarious. He gave us the Chappelle show.
Yeah, the unfortunate part about that is I believe that funny should be allowed to be funny. I was watching this show, The Right to Offend, that Kevin Hart put on Netflix. And, you know, they talk about like even Richard Pryor. I mean, we know times have changed, but let's just put Richard Pryor, bring him, dig him up, bring him back, put him in a time warp, and bring him to right now. These kids out here and these millennials would be like, "Who is this clown?" How dare he talk about everybody like that?
Yeah.
How dare he make fun? How dare he say the N word? You know, this is, he's so, you know, close-minded and out of touch. You see what I'm saying? It's just wild how we're in a place where, you know, that's why I asked you. I wanted to know, like, was it funny though? Funny should be allowed to be funny. If it's funny, like,
I think Dave is funny. Yes. I think it was funny. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
See how long it took you though?
I think he's funny. I think that show was funny. I wasn't upset that I paid my money. I think it was money well spent. So I will say that. But I think that there are some comedians that know that they're in a sensitive time, and you make money off of outrage.
Yeah. Some people do it deliberately.
I think people play into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to do that in this era or time, but I feel like some people do get popular off of that, and they do gain notoriety off of it. And viral moments are what you need now in order to make money. You need to go viral. If you don't make money, you're not going viral. You're not getting deals. We have people now that are not even athletes that have Nike deals.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not even athletes. Like, what are we doing?
Influencers.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know what that means, but we do have that. And I guess I also, like, with Ray J and, you know, seeing them, and it saddens me because I feel like, I'm not going to say Ray J was a great singer, because to me, and shout out to Ray J, I don't feel like he was ever on Brandy's level. That's just me.
Oh, no. You know people that have said that? Is there someone that has said
that? I am a millennial. I am a millennial.
Okay.
So maybe there's some that may feel like he was a good singer. Okay? But
he was decent. He carried a tune.
But we all came with auto-tune.
Yeah. He was more of a personality, though. He made it work, you know, with the reality shows and, you know.
But that's what my point was. Like, this helped him. Like, yeah, I feel like this, although the Versus was I don't know what the fuck we were watching, but it helped him. I feel like his career got better, not worse. But if this was back in the 90s and you sang like that, your career was done.
Yeah. Because now it's really just about something to talk about. You got to give me something to talk about.
Do you have a new show coming out?
Speaking of, I have my Friday show. I have Off on the Games, my live show on YouTube, 6 p.m. East Coast time is Lamont King. YouTube.com/Lamont King. And then, of course, we're doing a live version of the Karen Hunter Show. It's called Foolishness Fridays.
I saw that.
At Caroline's on Broadway on July 24th. It's going to be an awesome situation. Like, part live podcast, part stand-up, part just variety show, just foolishness in person.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. So she does she does a show Monday through Friday, right? last 8 years. And on Fridays, it's comedy. It's very light, and she has comedians on there, and I've been on the show for 3 years. So a couple months ago, I was like, we should do this live on stage, and she went with it, and she let me put it together, and this is what is the first one. The kickoff is July 24th, and we plan to take it on the road.
Okay, so do you know what cities you want to hit?
I'm looking at, I got a little short run. We're trying to, you know, we got some DC, we're looking at Philly, we're looking at Raleigh-Durham, taking on down the coast. So that information will be coming later after the launch.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, because I saw, I did see. I was like, that's pretty interesting. I've never gone to like a live podcast or radio show, but you're going to get the audience involved? Like, audience, it's going to be involved, a whole thing?
Yeah, it's going to be stand-up. We got celebrity appearances already locked in. You know, Q&A. You know, we might play Family Feud with the audience. You know, Black Jeopardy. All that type of stuff, live and in person. All the stuff that we do on the show, we're going to be doing live at the club.
So is it going to be like all fun and games, but connected to, because I know that's, you say like part variety, part you know, similar,
kind of similar. It's like if you ever, so on her show, man, you could have any A-lister on there, and on any given Friday, and then we'll do Family Feud, like, you know, on air with listeners and with the guests. So we're just going to bring that experience to the stage with other stand-up comedians.
Got you. So yeah. It's like a whole little situation. Yeah. You got a whole little comedy tour going. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you said your show also comes on Friday as well?
My show is on Fridays right after hers. I do a live digital show on YouTube right after I get off the air with her. So that's on YouTube.com/LamontKing, and that's called All Fun and Games.
Okay. And do you also have guests and everything on?
We have guests, and I do the live. I bring you on, bring you on the show randomly. Kind of like, what's the guy? It's the guy that I watch. Jesse Lee Peterson. I don't know if you ever seen him.
No.
he's like a Black Klansman. But, he takes live callers and people that want to jump on the show. And we do that. We just go through headlines. It's called something like a podcast. Hilarious commentary, trending topics, celebrity guests, and interesting people every Friday.
Awesome. So
that's what that show is. So my Fridays is full and action packed on the radio. Okay. Yeah.
And I know it's on YouTube, but do you also have it on audio?
Yeah, that's on all the platforms. Apple Podcasts and Google Play, iHeart and Spotify and all that. All Fun and Games. Lamont King's All Fun and Games.
Okay. So how can people follow you also on social media?
Mr. Lamont King, spell it how it sounds. Mr. LAMONTKING. That's on Twitter and Instagram. And you can get all the details for everything I got going on and all the upcoming shows.
See? And he's absolutely hilarious. I laugh at his comedy all the time. Like I said, even he went viral with the Donnell Rawlins, but a lot of his content is funny and it's eye-opening and he's telling the truth. He's not like me dancing around whether or not it was funny or not. He's straight to the point. He is upfront and in your face and honest. And do you still do the impersonations or you don't?
I haven't. I don't know. I think my voice has changed in my old age. And all the ones that I used to do, I see people doing them better. So I don't do them no more.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. I just haven't done them in years.
So head on up to New York so that you can also see his comedy show.
Yeah, something like a road trip. We make it happen. If you want details on that show as well, because there's people flying in from all over the country, just hit me, Mr. Lamont King.
All right, and you better do it. Better do it now because time running out and tickets is running out. So you better do it now.
Absolutely.
All right, well, I appreciate you being here.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me. I'll see you next time.
Thank you.